Mirandela.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Were you able to get back on or not?
I stayed on for a long time, and there was nothing.
Hmm.
I couldn't hear you. You didn't come back on. So I got back on, and the same thing. So I just gave up. I don't know.
Okay. Good evening.
Hello. Good evening.
We're going to start with Pasuk 367. And first with the Lashem Yehud. And this is from the Sukkim commentary in the Zohar, Parasha Lech Lecha, section 34. Lashem Yehud Kud Shabrihu Ishkinte Bidhilu Urhimu Udhilu Udhilu Urhimu Leakta Lashem Yudhe Bobate. Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Klal Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'asok Torah Mitzvah, Vayihinu Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kananei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kananeihu. Willo Odeh Laho Ilo Lekal Ho Tzadik Hayayo The translation. Furthermore, because all the righteous in the Garden of Eden listened to him, they add another portion to that flow of the stream, which are the mochin of supernal Abba and Ima. Therefore, he has an eternal portion in the world that is coming, for they are included in the mochin of Abba and Ima. My commentary, with Rabbi Ashlag's commentary, the pasuk is clear as written. Who is him? The human being who studies Zohar after midnight. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
A lot of times I don't go to bed till midnight, and I always read while I'm in bed. And my question is, I read about the Zohar, what's in the Zohar, like the sections on all of the Sephirot and what they mean. Does that count? I mean, I don't pick up the Zohar and actually read the Hebrew and the English, but is that still studying the Zohar?
Yes. What book are you reading from?
It's one of your teachers.
One of my teachers?
One of your past teachers. I can't remember.
It's basically anything that is considered Kabbalah is considered the study of the Zohar. So it absolutely does count.
You know, I hate that I can't tell you what book it is because it's right there on my nightstand and I pick it up all the time. It's just it seems like my memory is starting to fail remembering things. So,
well, That's why we're doing the mind meditation, because that'll help avoid that failing memory. You should do that more than once a day. You know the one I'm talking about?
Mom.
Yeah, the one that we do. Yep. We've been doing during Elul.
Right.
The one that's.
And I was.
You can find it on.
Brandy, in your sleep coat notebook, in the sleep coat notebook that you put together.
Okay, I got it.
Okay, but you should do that multiple times a day.
Okay.
I think the beginning of every volume says the same thing. I think it's repeated, because I used to do that. I haven't done it in a long time, but it seemed to me that each preface was a repeat from the previous volume, which is generalities, the holidays, the 12 tribes, the five worlds, the levels of the soul, which is good to review again. So thank you for bringing it up, because I haven't done it in quite a while.
Okay.
And I haven't read from the Zohar, the books themselves, in a while. I've been using the version that's on the Zohar.com. So, and I don't remember ever seeing it separated from all of those things. So, but I'm glad that you remember it. So, and are there any other questions on 367?
I don't know if this is a question. It's legitimate. But I wondered if the second rope moved faster at midnight than maybe the path that we take during the day.
I don't follow the comment. Say it again.
Well, I'm just wondering about the speed. I don't know exactly how to ask it. If movement of the Sephirot is faster during the night sessions than it is during the day sessions. In other words, is it a higher quality of study? And
the answer is yes. Study after midnight is a higher quality than study during the day. Studying during the night, meaning when sundown to midnight, it's not a good time to study. That's a time for family, for preparing for bed, for studying other things, secular subjects. But once midnight comes, that is the best time to study the Zohar, because that's when Chesed starts to come into the universe. The sunrise is manifesting the Chesed, but the Chesed actually starts at midnight. Just as the Gigorah starts at noon. But it's still daylight.
Malcolm.
Welcome, Malcolm. It's still daylight in the afternoon, but it's still the energy of Giburah has started to enter the universe. And it's strongest up until midnight. The fact that the sun sets is an indication that Giburah has taken ascendance over Chesed. The fact that in the afternoon the sun is still out is an indication that Chesed has not yet been defeated by Giburah. Uh, I hope that's clearer for you.
It makes sense.
Say again, Brandy.
It makes sense.
The Kabbalah always makes sense. It's just not necessarily logical. So should I go on to 368, or are we still talking about 367?
It's okay with me.
It's okay with me.
Okay, verse 368. Rabbi Abba Chawa, Ate Mit Verchaya, Live Teronya. Tachamo v'Rabbi Ako v'Reya Hawa Imeya i'aru ki ich par k'terasha kad ba'ol mishpat kat kav amar Rabbi Abba l'mareya d'veita Itaka har negola Amar lo mara Veita amai Amar lo begin de kaim da Befal gut leil ya mamash. The translation, Rabbi Abba was traveling from Tiberias to Tronia, where his father-in-law lived, accompanied by his son, Rabbi Yaakov. When they decided to spend the night in the village of Tarsha, Rabbi Abba asked his landlord, "Is there a cock around here?" The landlord asked, "What do you need a cock for?" Rabbi Abba responded, "Because I awake at midnight exactly, and I need a cock to wake me up." My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's commentary, the pasuk is clear as written. Did you know that a rooster, a cock, crows at midnight? Or did you think it was at sunrise? How far from nature have we become? How far from farming have we become? Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, we have an alarm clock.
Yeah, but is it exact?
Well, midnight isn't really midnight either. It depends on the season of the year, you know, which one
that's
of those.
That's correct.
You know, so there's a lot missing.
But a rooster always crows at Chatzot.
Mm-hmm. And then
the rooster has that exact time down. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, if women aren't tied to time-related mitzvah, I always feel like, well, okay, last night I woke up at 1:30. Stayed up all night, you know, the rest of the night.
Right.
But I had to do some housework because I've been cooking for Rosh Hashanah and the coat to be able to enjoy the holiday and to be able to have guests. And I didn't get to clean my kitchen. And so I cleaned my kitchen. I washed two batches of clothes. And I started getting sleepy at 4 o'clock. So that's when I went to my chair and read.
Okay.
You know, so. And I felt like, well, that's one of the things with women, and then being, you know, having a harder time getting around, that I can't necessarily clean my kitchen after I finish a day of cooking. So thank you.
I guarantee you, Hashem is not counting that against you. It's part of your role as a woman, your part of the role as a housewife, part of the role that you perform very well. Nobody's questioning that, at least of all Hashem, who's created women to do many things, including that. So the fact that you still were studying at 4 o'clock in the morning, or started to study at 4 o'clock in the morning, it's a good sign.
Well, I study 24 hours a day. For me, it's not to study this
much. Are you kidding me? You only think there's 24 hours in a day?
Yeah.
You know there's at least 28 hours in a day. At least that's what we need to get everything done, isn't it?
Just about. You know, I have friends that raise chickens, and
they have
roosters,
right.
And I've never heard the rooster get up at 12 o'clock at night, but I heard him in the morning.
Because midnight is not 12 o'clock. Midnight is something else.
Okay.
Did you ever hear him around midnight or around 1 o'clock in the morning? Or were you asleep?
No, we were up partying.
Well,
I didn't hear.
And they're not kosher roosters. They've become corrupted.
What? How do you know if they're a kosher rooster?
If they wake you up at midnight, they're a kosher rooster.
But didn't you just say midnight is not midnight?
Yes, that's what I said, but what I meant was midnight is not chatzot. Midnight is not the middle of the night, which is what chatzot is.
Okay.
But every day, the length of a minute changes. There are 12 hours in every day and 12 hours in every night. But how long are those 12 hours depends on how many hours relative is daylight. The sun in the summer is close to 14 hours long, or maybe close to 15 hours long. So a minute is, let's say, 15 hours divided by 12 and then divided by 60 to get the length of a minute. As an estimate, I didn't do the math, but it might be effectively 75 seconds. The length of a minute in winter, the day is only about 9.5 or 10 hours long. And again, you have to divide by 12 for the number of hours, and then divide by 60. And then you will know how long a minute is. The cock, the rooster, knows how long a minute is naturally. That is its cycle. Just as a human being has a circadian rhythm, the cock, the rooster, has a circadian rhythm. And he always crows at midnight if he hasn't been corrupted by mankind. But many roosters today have been corrupted by man, by the actions of man. And so that, as you said, they're waking you up at sunrise, because that's the owner wants it to be woken up at sunrise. He doesn't want to be woken up at midnight. But if the owner of the rooster wants to wake up at midnight, that rooster will revert and change his time of crowing to midnight. Not midnight, but the chatzot, the middle of the night.
Randy, do you still have The Sweetest Hour, the book by the Breslow that years ago that we got together and we would do Tikkun HaZot? There's a wonderful explanation in there.
I've got it.
That repeats what Hanok just said.
Okay.
Hannah, it wasn't clear what you said. Where do you have it? Where is it written?
It's in the book called The Sweetest Hour. Breslow put it out in the 90s. And there's a wonderful explanation about what the time of midnight is and how it changes through the day. Also, they tell about, you know, King David and his harp waking him up, and Baptist and Rachel and Leah, and we did that. We would meet at night for several years. In fact, it was Della, our friend that just passed away this past week, who got the books for us. And the Breslovers had just come out with it. So I believe it was Rabbi Greenbaum, I believe.
That's correct. It is by Greenbaum who wrote it in English. And they still are publicizing it. It's a very inexpensive book.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a pamphlet, and they are still publicizing it. It was out of print for a number of years, but they brought it back.
We went from that to the 10 songs of Rabbi Nachman. So we kind of went through stages, and of course we didn't have any teacher or leader. It was just kind of, and I don't think in those days it was even internet yet.
Internet didn't start until the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
What didn't become popular till later in the 90s, but the internet was created in 1989. Actually, in 1990, because of that was the year. There's a whole calculation. I'm sure you've seen it, but it's basically every 1,000 years is a day, and on the Friday, the sixth day of creation, we know hour by hour what happened. So Adam and Chava ate from the tree of knowledge, good and evil, at midnight, not midnight, at 12 noon on Friday, on the sixth day of creation. And when that is calculated, that's 3/4 of the way through the 24-hour cycle. When that's calculated, it's the year 5750, which turns out to be Rosh Hashanah 1989 through Rosh Hashanah 1990. And so when the internet came out and the modern Kabbalists realized what it was giving, what it was capable of, they coined it that the internet is the tree of knowledge, good and evil. Because it was revealed exactly when Adam had eaten from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. Now, when you say, how can it be the tree of knowledge, good and evil? Because you have so much porn for the evil side, and you have so much Torah for the positive side.
Well, I got my first computer in 1997, and when I got it, no one around me had a computer. But I thought Adam and Hava ate it 3 hours before Shabbat began, that there was a link between that and why we don't eat the fruit of the tree before the tree is 3 years plus one plus another one, 5 years, was because of 3 hours before. So that, you know, that's a new something for me. I'm glad you said it. Always liked it.
There's a book. It's a book that comes. It's associated with the Daily Zohar website. It's written by one of the students of the Kabbalah Center, who is a mathematician. And it's, I think the title is The Cosmic Clock or something along those lines. And it goes into great details, just as I explained it. But at 3 in the afternoon on the sixth day of creation, that was when Hashem revealed that he knew that they had eaten it, but they actually ate it at noon on the sixth day of creation. But at 3 p.m. is when they were conversing with Hashem and trying to hide from him what they had done. But it's well worth reading that book. There's parts of it that I don't recommend because it tells you that the secular calendar is similar to the Hebrew calendar, the cosmic calendar, which I don't agree with because they're constantly moving back and forth and you get confused. But it's very clear that in the writing in English, although what happened in those 24 hours is step by step. And then you can relate it to what happened in the history of the world, step by step. And eventually I will bring that into the Jewish history class, which I apologize to you today because for some reason I didn't set up the conference call, so it didn't get recorded. But we only discuss the first 10 generations from Adam to Noah.
And I forgot.
Say again?
I said I forgot.
But I didn't promote it too much, so. But it was, we basically reviewed the first class because there were new people, and then we went into the first 10 generations very quickly. And the essence of the first 10 generations is that every human being, by right, by virtue of being a human being, was capable of correcting Adam's sin all by himself. But he wasn't able to. Nobody was able to. But when Noah was born, the DNA of the human species changed because after Adam sinned, the DNA of the human species, everybody had webbed fingers and toes, which made it more difficult to plow the ground, to prepare the food and so forth. So that's pretty much in 5 minutes what we covered, and it's time to go.
Okay.
So questions and answers at the 7 o'clock West Coast time class tonight. Tomorrow morning, I have another appointment. I have the Hebrew teaching class here, so we will not have the Slichot. But we will have at 4:30 tomorrow West Coast time, we will have a deep Zohar class And at 7 o'clock, we will have a regular Zohar class. So I hope to speak to you in one of those classes. And I bid you all shalom gadol.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom.